Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom, part of the Social Podcast Network, socialpodcastnetwork.com. All of our local folks doing podcasts, great to be a part of it. Whew, good morning. So it is Monday, the 1st, 1 month down. Interesting. Interesting month. Interesting weekend. Had our first air quotes snowstorm of the season. And it's kind of cool. It's gone now. There is absolutely nothing outside. But it was one of those, you know, one of those storms. We were in the 1 to 3, I think it was, and in the process of dropping 1 to 3 inches, it feels like it's gonna drop 10. You're like, oh, they've missed it. Something's wrong. It's going to turn out to be worse than we expected. And then about two and a half, 3 inches falls, and it stops. And you're like, wow, they got it right. I was talking to my in-laws up in Connecticut. And, you know, according to the Weather Channel, Connecticut was supposed to get, you know, this huge amount. And we talked to them last night. They hadn't gotten any. I was like, that's weird. Maybe it's coming more today. I don't know. I thought we were supposed to get more snow today. Looks like it's over. It switched over to rain last night and basically washed the snow out. It was gone. And, you know, I got up yesterday. I'm like, I need to get the snow plow out. We got a big project. That thing wouldn't start. Fucking what small project turned into a huge project, which I didn't even get into. I'm like, forget it. And I'm like, ain't that a bitch? I got a snow plow. It's snowing. And I can't even use the snow plow. A couple hours later, it switches over to rain. You can't even tell it snowed anyway. So, whatever. It is Monday. So, how's everybody? Hope everyone's doing well. So yesterday was the day, Sunday, the whatever, 31st, I guess. Or I think it was 31st, but well, now I got to look. How many days are in January? I think 31, right? Let's see. I can't even find, is this the way it's going to be today? Can I find a calendar, please? Yeah, 31. Just like I said, okay? But yesterday was great. You know, my dad, I don't know. So I'm 52. So I don't know how many people out there have their parents still alive or, you know, or interact with their parents or have a relationship, good or bad, with their parents. But if you're around my age, you're dealing with old parents, right? You know, my mom passed. We know that. My dad's 83. And, you know, he's done a pretty good job up until this point. Of kind of maintaining, you know, I still have it together. I'm just getting old. I still got it together. I'm just getting old. Well, he's finally like, you know, I'm getting old. And when you're old, and at least in living his kind of life that he lives, which is, you know, now he's a widower, I guess, right? But he was in the military, so he has a group of friends from the VA, his military friends. And then he goes to, he belongs to a club, and he goes up there, and he's got his men friends at the club. And, you know, he's gathering information from the men friends at the club, and he's got his information from his VA friends at the VA. And then he's got news, and then he's got himself, right? Four things. And he can whip himself up into quite a froth between these things. And the latest project has been getting this, the vaccine. And, you know, I've shared before that the relationship I have with my dad is always evolving, ever evolving. And, you know, we've learned, when, you know, to get involved in the conversation, you know, or just kind of light-footed around it. And one of the things about vaccines and coronavirus and pandemics, and everybody has a damn opinion, right? And the vaccine, I haven't really. I'm not eligible, so honestly, I haven't really paid much attention. I mean, I'm watching it. I'm happy that the process is taking place, but I'm not like looking for my opportunity to get my shot. You know, I watched the thing the other night, and they were saying, "Listen, man, if we're going to be real, if we're going to take a hard look at this, the deaths and this coronavirus and the pandemic and all this, is that the major portion of people that have been hit in this thing are 65 and over." Now, I know some young people have gotten it. I know it varies, but for the majority of people that have you know, caught in the COVID virus, it is that a word, cotton? No, I don't think so. Whatever the word is, but who got it, we're like 65 and over. So they were saying we really need to get the people that are 65 and over vaccinated. That's our big, you know, sample of people that are really struggling. And so that's fine by me. I think that's a great idea. So I'm not really paying much attention to it. But my dad, you know, he's involved with these groups. And, oh, my buddy's over at VA says, you know, I got to do this. And my buddy's on the internet, they're doing this. And I'm like, yeah, okay, Dad. You know, and I'm not, I have to really decide my opinion isn't going to help. Or my facts aren't going to help. So I've just been letting him handle it. And I had a client come in. She says, yeah, I went on. I had a lady come on, a client come in the other day, and she said that she went on the Walgreens website at 3 a.m. and got an appointment to get the vaccine. And she was like, I couldn't believe it happened. I couldn't believe that I made the appointment. And she goes, I kept waiting for him all week to call because it was like, you know, I don't know what day she did it on, but it was probably 3 or 4 days later that her appointment was going to take place. So she's like, I kept waiting for him to call me. Like, we don't have the vaccine. Sorry, I don't know how you got that appointment. Sure enough, she went down to Walgreens and they gave her the shot. She's like, there was nobody there. It was no line. So I guess the point of that was, hey, if you're stressing about the vaccine and you're 65 and over and you're, you know, you're one of the people, go on one of these websites. She said that Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, they all have websites. And apparently, you know, you might try doing it in the middle of the night and see if it changes your options or availability. But, you know, so I've been listening to my dad and his friends, and he told me last week, he's like, I got an appointment on Sunday at 2:00 at the VA. I go, awesome. You know, and this is what is important to him right now. I mean, this is, you know, years old. This is the hot topic. And so I said, all right, you know, if you need me to take you or anything, you know, let me know. I should be fine. I said, no problem, Dad. Well, the snowstorm showed up. And I talked to him, I think it was on Friday. They were spraying the streets, you know, with salt water or whatever. When that happens, you know we're going to get something. I mean, it's, you know, it's going to be something going on. He's like, I think I'll be able to take care of it. And I said, all right, well, let me know, you know. Well, Saturday night, he's like, I think you probably are going to need to take me. And I go, absolutely. Absolutely. What a gift, right? You know, there was a time in my life. Actually, I shouldn't say it. I was in bed last night thinking about this. And I don't look back at my relationship with my parents, my father, as a bad one. I look at it as two people who adopted two kids and just tried to make the best of it. And I know, I'll speak for myself, I made it very, very tough on my parents. You know, I look at my kids today, and they're very normal. And I was talking to my wife about this, that, you know, it was just this one kid, you know, Danny M, who came into my life, who was awesome and was just had enough going for him. And he was the one that was like, you want to try some pot? You want to try alcohol? You want to try sex? You want to, you know, he was into all that stuff. He was like the devil. He was that kid that we all worry about. And it put me on a path that would be a real battle with my parents and I. So to come out at 52 and be able to take your father to get his vaccine, you know, to literally be there for my dad. there's 100, 200 opportunities prior to now that we could have actually ended our relationship. And somehow we haven't. And, you know, he came over to the house about 12:45. We needed to be there at 2, so 12:45, quarter to 1. You know, and from the point he got in the car, it was going to be I know how my dad is. He gets nervous. He's the kind of guy that likes to drive. So he gets nervous. You know, you can't follow people too closely. I knew all of this. I knew how he is. He's particular. And I took my time. We did it. We got up there in like 45 minutes. I mean, it was really not a lot of people on the road. It was snowing. And, we drove up. No big deal. We had a great chat. I knew prior to going with him that I was going to, watch what you're going to talk about today with your dad. You know, let's not get into politics. Let's not get into he said, she said. Let's not get into any of that. We'll just have a good chat. And that's what we did. We get up to this place and, wow, all of these volunteers were there, when we pulled in, off of one road and we come into this parking lot. What this was a big shopping mall that they've changed over now to the VA. What an amazing freaking facility that it was. I mean, you walk in and it's just lined with doctor's offices. It was really awesome. But we got there, we pulled into the parking lot. There's a volunteer there. Hey, good morning. You know, it's snowing. They're out in the snow. Good morning. What's your name? Da, da, da. Last four, blah, blah, blah. All right, now follow that guy. Here's a form. Fill it out. See that guy? Go with him. He'll get you parked. So I'm like, great. I look at the guy. He points at me. I'm like, you got it. I follow over. He puts us in a parking spot. My dad fills out the form. So once you fill out the form, just take it to the door. You took it to the door. And I was freaking crying under my mask. I was just holding on, man. All of these kids, you know, like me, 52, 48, whatever the age, were bringing in their parents, veterans, old folks. You know, it's like, it's the same thing I do with my kids, right? I take my kids, I've got to take them. Well, this was a very, very, very important day. I can imagine, at my age right now, 52, I'm like, hey, man, if I get sick, just take me out back. Just put an end to me. But as life goes on, we become more into being around longer, right? We're more into, it is a big deal. I don't want to leave yet. It's funny. And so getting my dad getting his vaccine was very important, and I got lucky, I was able to be there with him. you know, I thought, I can't express how emotional I was yesterday. I mean, I literally started, I would have burst into tears probably five times. I was literally kind of, from walking through the parking lot, getting my dad into the place, and just, you know, I just became very emotional. And I, you know, I was thinking about it last night. I'm like, is it, you know, is it my father that's making me emotional, or is it just everything? You know, everything that, I hate to say that we're going through, because there are days I feel like we're going through nothing. But yesterday was one of those days that really brought everything to the surface of kind of what we've been going through, the, you know, as a, you know, as a mildly cynical 52-year-old person, and my thoughts and feelings and on a daily basis to some of this stuff. And then you look at a, you know, an 80, 90. I mean, I looked over, I was at, you know, so you basically, you walk in, you get the form, they take your temperature, they take you to a, basically a doctor's office. And my dad got the shot. Every point of our path was, there was a volunteer. You know, let's go down this way. We get to the point. All right, sir, thank you. Let's go this way, sir. You know, just a volunteer's guiding, happy, pleasant faces all throughout the experience. They get the shot, and then they take you to a room, and they observe you for 15 minutes to make sure that you don't have any, you know, bad reactions. But all of the, you know, everybody there, and I'm sitting, you know, I'm sitting there with my dad, and I look over, and there's a gentleman with his father, and the guy must have been 95, really. I mean, you know, and I love veterans. You know, they have their hat, you know, World War II or you know, Pearl Harbor or whatever, you know, Vietnam. And there was a lot of those hats yesterday. And just, you know, that's my dad. My dad's military. My dad's a colonel. You know, we ran into some of their, and then the conversation about how my dad's helping the VA, and that, so-and-so thinks your father's a hero. And I'm like, yeah, he's awesome. I agree. And my dad's like, oh, forget about it. Forget about it. You know, they don't want anything at this point. But it was just, I don't know, man. And I think just everything we're going through, and how important this was for him, and how grateful that as a sober person that I'm available to take my dad to get his freaking vaccine. You know, in 20 years or 10 years, this will be the norm. We get vaccinated for this, you know. Oh, yeah, I got my vaccine. But to be like, you know, to, we've gone through this together. We lost my mother through this together. Yeah, it's just, I don't know what it was. But I think it's just a lot of stuff. And it was all on the surface yesterday. And I was just really emotional and weepy. Weepy. It was pathetic. And but he got the shot. He was happy. And then he said something to me. He goes, you know, Tom. You go, yeah, Dad. He goes, you know what I do? I go, what's that? He goes, I worry about something. And I worry about it, and I worry about it, and I worry about it, and then it happens, and then I realize I wasted all that time worrying about it. I'm like, yeah, it's called projecting. You project something the way however you think it's going to be, doom and gloom version of it, and then you live in it. And then you're suffering it for no reason. At the end, there was no reason to do all that. He's like, you're right. I've been telling my dad this, you know. I've been talking about this. I've been doing it. I talked a lot about that projecting and reflecting bullshit, you know. He does the same thing. It's always been one of my biggest challenges. My dad. My dad cannot fucking let go of the past. Oh, I remember when I used to take it in ninth grade. You used to go in the front door and out the back. I'm like, why does that even matter? You know? I did a lot of shit. But I learned. I tried to learn. I tried to get to a point where I'm better. I want to be the guy that can take you to get your vaccine. Why do we have to live in the past? And then he gets, you know, so he gets he peels the scab open. So I'm starting again, you know, I start picking the scab. I can't handle talking about this. I'm like, well, he started it. But he said that to me, you know. And, you know, when my mom passed away, even before my mom passed away, when my mom was even at home, even before my mom when my mom just had gone blind. You know, when she went blind, it really exposed a lot of the physical struggles she was having as far as being an older person. Strength, meaning being the big one. And I used to say, Mom, if you want to keep it, you got to use it. If you don't use it, you're going to lose it. And, oh, I know, I'm going to. And I bought her these, like, stationary bikes. I bought her, you know, all sorts of stuff. Did you ride the little bike today, Mom?
No.
Well, how do you expect to drive your car? Because her problem was, like, lifting. Like, she could shuffle her feet, but what she wanted to do was drive again. And to take your foot off of the gas and onto the brake quickly is a reflex muscle. And hers was, you know, null and void. And I was like, we got to get this strength up, Mom, or you won't be able to drive again. Oh. Well, she never drove again. But my dad, you know, he's been listening. And, you know, during the beginning of this, him and I would really bump heads about this, you know. I don't like your philosophy. I don't like your philosophy on eating. You know, him and I just, maybe it was me. I don't know. I think he's, you know, I've shared before, he's always had a little bit of a hang up. But besides all that, he says to me, you know, I need to stop doing that. And I tell him all the time about this. And I go, yeah, I tell you all the time. He goes, well, I need to be better because I'm really just wasting my time worrying about shit that doesn't really matter. And I go, well, there you go. And then he says, you know, I need to start exercising. You know, I've been telling him, Dad, get up in the morning, have a nice glass of water, get your exercise pants on, you know, those big blooming gray sweatpants and sweat jacket that he likes to wear, you know, from the 50s. And, you know, go for a nice walk. That's what Matt used to tell me. Go for a nice walk, breathe in a lot of fresh air, drink some nice glass of great water, and eat some fresh food. Air, water, food. You know, really fill yourself up with nutrition and healthy stuff. And I've been telling him that. And, like, you know, get out in the mornings, go for a nice walk, reset your day. You know, get the day set and start it off right.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go to PT. I'm going to.
It's always something that, you know, and this reminds me of back when I was in my drinking. Yeah, well, I'm going to do that. I'm going to pull that old car and fix it up. I'm going to rebuild the garage. I've got all these fucking projects. And they never happened. That's why I said, forget the, you know, I'm going to go to the boardwalk and walk like I used to. I said, forget that. Just go. Get some sweats on, get some sneakers, and just walk out the front door and start walking in the neighborhood. You know, don't put a whole lot of objects in the way of success. You know, I do that all the time. You know, I have a workout partner, a running partner, whatever it is, and if someone can't show up, then I'm done. I'm not doing it, right? If I can't do it the way that this picture-perfect style or way that I think it should be done is done, I'm not doing it. So what ends up happening is I don't do anything. That's why I said that, you know, I don't like going to the gym to run on a treadmill. I just step out the front door and start running. And, but he tells me yesterday, I need to start exercising. I go, yeah, it's a good idea. You know? But you can't, you know, there are things you just gotta, you know, you plant the seed and then you got really literally got to step back and hopefully it'll start to grow. And some of these things, you know, that I talk about in this podcast that I remind myself of, I have to remind my dad of. And, you know, a lot of these things, they're just human problems, just humans being humans. These are human things. And, you know, we just need a reminder because, you know, it's easy to get caught up in a bunch of, like, projecting and reflecting. Projecting and reflecting. All right, let's see what we got here. Anyway, I guess the point of that was, I'm just blessed. I was really just full of gratitude, really, you know, grateful that I even have my dad in my life, you know. I'm grateful that, you know, that my mom has passed and I'm able to be there for him despite everything that we have gone through. You know, despite the ups and downs. Here we are, 83, 52, and I'm able to be there for my dad and you know, take him. And it was just, I don't know, I guess it was the COVID. Just grateful I'm able to be there for my dad. Grateful he's alive. Grateful that he's slightly not as much of a pain in the ass anymore, because I really like my dad, right? I really do. And I, like I said when I started the podcast, I don't look back at our relationship. I look back and I think of a lot of fond memories. And what I definitely remember are moments of me stepping out and saying that I have a lot of fond memories of my dad. And mom. Great. They were great. Camping and BMX. We did everything. They were awesome. So my dad only got kind of crummy when I got crummy. And luckily today I'm not, and he's not, and we're able to do this kind of stuff together. All right, I'm going to read a little daily reflections, and then I'm busy today, folks. I hope everyone's having a great day. They're busy. You know, my anniversary's coming up. My wedding anniversary. All right, February 1st, goal, sanity. Step 2, and, you know, maybe I may start talking a little bit about step 2, but here comes some step 2 stuff. Here we go. Step 2, gently and very gradually began to infiltrate my life. I can't say upon what occasion or upon what day I came to believe in a power greater than myself, but I certainly have that belief now. Yeah. Yep. I can't remember, but I you know, the power of prayer, saying it out loud, you know, the embarrassment of exposing some of my prideful thinking, you know, helps create change in my life. Yeah, so important. Came to believe. I gave lip service to my belief when I felt like it or when I thought it would look good. I didn't really trust God. I didn't believe he cared for me. I kept trying to change things I couldn't change. Gradually, in disgust, I began to turn it all over, saying, "You're so omnipotent, you take care of it." He did. I began to receive answers to my deepest problems, sometimes at the most unusual times, driving to work, eating lunch, or when I was sound asleep. I realized that I hadn't thought of those solutions. A power greater than myself had given them to me. A power greater than myself had given them to me, I came to believe. Yeah. It's really a big deal. Where it says gradually and discuss, I began to turn it all over, saying, "You're so omnipotent." I don't know if he said that out loud, but it was when I started saying those kind of things. You know, I talked about that project where I got involved in with that girl and she went rogue and I was pretty helpless. And I had to start saying, "Dear God, I'm turning this over to you. I can't handle it. My shoulders aren't big enough. Dear God, I'm turning this over to you. My shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning it over, letting it go." Out loud, I kept saying it, and I kept saying it, and it kept cutting it in half, and it kept feeling better. And I don't even know if it was, I don't know what felt better, but it definitely cut it in half. And I started to trust and believe. And that's a big deal. You know, I hear people all the time, I'll do AA, but I'm not doing the God thing. Well, then you're not doing AA. You're not doing you. You're doing yourself a disservice by being like that. I think that's absolutely the reason I'm even still around today in this program, is because of my relationship with the higher power and understanding this isn't about quitting drinking. This is that I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility, and that turns out to be my main problem. And it takes a while in a relationship with a higher power for me to start to realize that. When I was a cool kid. Hey, is it my fault that the fallen embers burn down in a spiral round your crown of thorns? My body tells me no, but I won't.
smile, good smile.